We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the PHNX Suns podcast, brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app. I'm Lindsay Smith, and I'm joined as always by Saul Bookman, Gerald Bourget, and Espo. Guys, how you feeling after last night's big win?
Tired but excited, I think, is the vibe.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. I'm still dragging ass today, but that's okay because it's a good dragging ass. I don't know if that's such a thing, but here we go.
It's a happy, excited ass.
Whoa.
I feel you guys. I feel you guys a lot on that one. And I think a lot of people can because, I mean, how could you sleep after last night's win? The come down from that was hard.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was like that for the players, though, too. Like, that's a lot of emotion, a lot of energy that's expended. It does not surprise me that they canceled practice today after everything that went into winning that game. They gutted that win out without Devin Booker, and they did it with defense, and that takes a lot out of you. And it took a lot out of fans watching it, too.
Absolutely. All right. Well, the Phoenix Suns have won 17 straight games, tying the longest winning streak in franchise history. The other team that accomplished this was, of course, the 06-07 Suns team. And Espo, I know you have somewhat of an ode to these teams, so take it away.
Well, look, I know that I take a lot of grief for being the nostalgic guy on this show, but I think history is important for context, right? It helps us remember and put things in perspective when it comes to a win streak like this. The Suns and this particular Suns team are on the verge of becoming the best Phoenix Suns team ever. And why that is important is because this is a franchise that for 53 years at best has been the bridesmaid and never the bride, right? And why I look back at that 06-07 team and not compare. I don't want this to be an argument of is 06-07, is that lineup better? I don't want to pit eras against each other and player versus player. The perspective for me is when you look at it, that team won 17 games and fell short of their ultimate goal of winning a title. Now, the interesting thing is when we were talking about this win streak, 06-07 came up twice. They passed them when they won 16 games because the 06-07 team owed the third longest win streak in Suns history at 15 games and the first longest win streak at 17 games, right? The interesting thing is there were only three games in between those two win streaks. The Suns went 1-2 in those three games. So overall, in a 35 game stretch, they went 33-2.
Jeez.
But they did it predicated primarily on offense. that was still 7 seconds or less. Suns, that's Nash, Amari, Marion. They did it by running teams out of the gym. What this team has done is with defense, and that 17th win was huge in doing so. It proved how important defense is. DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges defense won that game against the Warriors. Their team defense and that mentality and forcing turnovers won that game for the Warriors. That 06-07 team didn't have that kind of a defensive mentality. They weren't a physical team. They weren't a team that got in your heads that way like this team this year. And what eventually was the demise of that 06-07 team was that Spurs team that out-physicaled them, that bullied them, that led to the the hip check. And this team is set up and built differently. I don't think they're going to run into that kind of pitfall. And to me, that's the interesting thing here. This 33-2, I think this Suns team could certainly reach that or eclipse it. It would not shock me if they went 34-1 over a 35 game stretch. But the differentiating factor is the toughness with this team. And to me, the perspective is, what was the downfall for that 17-win team is not a factor with this 17-game win streak team.
The hope here hinges on the difference, right? It hinges on the fact that this is a defensive team or a defensive focus team as opposed to the offensive focus team that we saw in the past. You guys were kind of jokingly saying that I was a curmudgeon last night, or at least you were, Espo, not really Lindsay. But
yeah, neither of you knew the definition of the word.
And I was talking about how, like, I didn't really care about the 06-07 team. And that's kind of where, I feel about this team is, like, it's so awesome that they've won 17 games in a row. And you just talked about they were forever a bridesmaid, never the bride. If they don't win a championship this year, they're just the prettiest bridesmaid, but they're still a bridesmaid, right? And so I think the ultimate thing about this is you got to win the championship. You just got to. Otherwise, these winning streaks are cool and they're fun in the regular season, but you're always going to have that question afterwards. And that's what feels so different about this team. Defense, no matter what coach you talk to, defense is something that you could always rely on, because that's just effort. That's knowledge of, being able to move and chemistry and understanding sets and how to get through screens and how you want to match up with teams. And that's something that you can control on your end, is your effort to do that. Offense, sometimes you're going to have off nights. And when you play against a banging team, basically last night was the version of the Suns of the past versus the Suns now. The Warriors represent kind of what the Suns of the past used to be with the Nash and the run and gun Suns, and they ran into what you would equate to the Spurs of the past and last night with the Suns team of today. And you love to see it.
But the Warriors are a better defensive team than those Suns teams ever were too. And just a kind of final thought on looking at the past, to me, every team they passed on this win streak was a team that failed to reach their goal. And every one of these teams was predicated so much on being just offensive juggernauts. And it's the old, if you keep doing the same thing, the definition of insanity is if you keep doing the same thing and expect different results. They're doing things differently now. And that's why I think this team is more equipped to have a different result in the end and win that title. And it's not a fluke. This proves, again, last year was not a fluke in any sense of the way.
Right. I think the defensive thing is obviously the big thing that stands out, because that 06-07 team, I think, was like middle of the pack in defensive rating. And that's about as good as it got for the Suns during the 7 seconds or less era, because they were so dominant offensively. And, you look at the way that the league has changed since then, it's crazy to compare, like you were saying, Espo. It's not so much a comparison as much as trying to project where this team might be different from that team, because, that Suns team, their pace would have ranked 29th in the NBA today. And, they were seen as a very fast team. So it's kind of crazy how much more up-tempo the game is now. But the difference here is that the Suns, this is the first great Suns defensive team that we've seen in a really, really, really long time. So I think, you know, you look at the fact that there's only been, I think, 21 win streaks of at least 17 games in NBA history. That's certainly something worth diving into as far as how many of those teams were able to finish the job, in trying to project where the Suns are going to end up, whether they'll finish the deal. Because like Saul's saying, you know, it's cool and everything, but it means a lot less if you don't finish the job at the end of the day. And we're looking way down the road here, of course, but this is a fun time to be a Suns fan. They're playing a 4-win Detroit Pistons team next to try and beat the franchise record for consecutive wins. And it's exciting that they actually have a balanced team instead of just this up-tempo offensive juggernaut. They can win in so many different ways because they're great offensively and defensively.
Gerald, out of sheer curiosity, you said that the Suns of the in 06-07 would rank 29th in terms of pace this year. Who are the teams that would be behind them right now, and how awful are they?
I think the one team that would be behind them in pace is the Denver Nuggets. They are playing at a very slow pace right now.
Wow.
Well, that's because they have all these hobbled guys dragging body parts behind them, trying to get up and down the court this year. So, Gerald, I believe it's since 2000, there's been 15 teams to have a win streak of 16 or more in the NBA. Of those, 11 teams have made it at least to the conference finals, and I believe 7 of them won the title. I think that's the numbers. I could not find it in my notes, but I think that's the numbers. So just because you hit this plateau doesn't guarantee success. Obviously, that 06-07 team was out in the second round, but it does tend to be a pretty good sign that you are at least going to make it to your conference finals if you pull that off in the regular season.
Absolutely. And that's pretty cool. And it's, again, it's one of those things where you want this team to be a part of history. You want them to finish the job so they can be another one of those teams that, you know, had this win streak and finished the job. Because otherwise it's just kind of like a fun thing that happened once upon a time. And, you know, to be fair, we do remember the 06-07 team as one of the best chances that Steve Nash had at a title. We remember it for the hip check and the suspensions and everything that went down with that. And it's a pity that team couldn't be remembered differently. It'd just be nice for one of these Suns teams that does something historic like this to break through and end this damn curse over this franchise.
Right. We don't want another team to become to be added onto the list of what ifs. Right. Yes. The Suns have so many what ifs throughout their history. And a lot of these teams, like, they're to be praised, absolutely, because they accomplish great things, but they never accomplish the one singular goal that I think everyone is going after, right? Which is a championship. Hopefully this team can accomplish that so that it doesn't end up on the what if list moving forward.
And that's the thing, is like, we're talking about team, right? We're talking about, you know, and the ultimate team reward is a championship. So all these teams have been, I always say that these teams were all very, very good, but none of them were great because they didn't win a championship. And sometimes it's because you go up against Michael Jordan in the NBA Finals, the greatest player of all time. And sometimes it's just because you have some damn bad luck. But either way, or crooked refs, yeah, which is bad luck. So, again, the Suns and really the Valley as a whole outside of the Diamondbacks is just so thirsty for somebody to overcome that giant ass hump and finally win a title. And really it comes down to the Cardinals and the Suns, in my opinion, the Suns more so than anybody else, because the Suns are the original franchise.
Look, one thing to defend myself in terms of the nostalgia thing,
he's getting choked up. Sorry.
I'm very nostalgic about talking about nostalgia, but there's a difference between understanding historical perspective to give a better view on what's going on currently and nostalgia. Right now, I'm not nostalgic for the 7 seconds or less Suns. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be back there. I just remember that they've done something similar and where that wound up and trying to put historical perspective on it.
For sure.
Now nostalgia is why you love a team in part, because there's this memory of, when you were younger, when you fell in love at first with sports, and that's why you stick around. But historical perspective is important to put things into context.
For sure.
All right, now we're going to
live on quiet.
Sorry.
We've bored them to death.
No, I muted myself and then I couldn't get back out.
She heard nostalgia and she fell asleep.
Never. I appreciate the nostalgia, especially from you, Espo, because like I wasn't present for a lot of those things. So I feel like you bring a good perspective to it and I enjoy hearing about it from your angle.
Did Lindsay basically just say you're so old that you remember things that I wasn't alive for?
That's exactly what just happened. No,
but you also look back at it. You take deep dives into it. You put in the work. That's all I'm saying. You put in the work.
He hasn't put in the work. It's just stuck in his brain forever.
I put in the work when I was younger to watch all this crap and never forget it. So
I'm trying to pay you a compliment. Just take it, okay?
Thank you, Lindsay. You're welcome. I appreciate it.
All right, before we head into takeaways from last night's game, I want to tell all the football fans out there that I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but with the latest no-brainer from the DraftKings Sportsbook app, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you will be a winner once a single point scored. That's right. New customers who download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up with using the code PHNX, after you bet just $1 on any NFL team to score, and they do, you can win $100 in free bets instantly. It is that simple. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get skin in the game with new same-game parlays. You can combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. So the more legs you add, the more money you can win. And if you've got some free bets, that's a great way to take advantage of them and potentially win a whole bunch of money. As we've mentioned before, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So one more time, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use promo code PHNX. Bet $1 on any NFL team to score and win $100 in free bets if they do. When they score, you score with the promo code PHNX this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. That is 21 and older only, Arizona only, gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. New customers only, eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. All right, guys. Last night, obviously, the Suns defeated the Warriors 104-96, moving to the top of the Western Conference. Let's get into a little bit of takeaways from this Suns versus Warriors game, because we're going to get a repeat this Friday, only a few days away, and then another repeat on Christmas, just a few weeks away. What would you say, Gerald, we can start with you, since you weren't able to join us very long for our post game last night. What were some of your takeaways for this one?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about it more in depth at gophnx.com if anyone listening is interested. Obviously, the big one is what's going on with Devin Booker, but kind of injury aside, I really do think that we need to be talking about Mikal Bridges in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation a little bit more. I feel like we need to be talking about the Suns as the by far best clutch team in the NBA so far. And I think we need to be talking about DeAndre Ayton, who, you know, not only punished the Warriors' small ball lineups with his size down low, and the way that he was sealing and rolling to the rim, but he also played a big part in Curry's, you know, off night. So last night was the worst shooting performance of Steph Curry's career statistically, which is pretty impressive. I didn't realize it at the time, but you know, he went 4 for 21, 3 for 14 from three. And a lot of those shots, he did miss some open ones. He had, I think, about 5 3-pointers that were relatively open for him that he just missed. But there were about 3 or 4 contests out on the perimeter where DeAndre Ayton got switched onto him, did an excellent job getting a hand up and making that shot difficult, rushing him a little bit. He even blocked his shot at one point. And we talked about this, but seeing a 7-footer block Steph Curry on the perimeter, like Steph Curry threes getting blocked in general is like seeing a unicorn in real life. Like, it just doesn't happen very often. I can't remember the last time Curry got blocked on a three. So the job that he did was tremendous.
Seen a unicorn, Gerald? Because you said it doesn't happen very often. I just want to know, have you seen a unicorn?
Where you hide them?
only in Harry Potter movies.
Okay. Unfortunately. Sorry. Go ahead.
But yeah, I feel like, you know, Mikal Bridges got most of the credit for last night's defensive effort, and rightfully so, because he is putting together a Defensive Player of the Year campaign. But we need to give Ayton some love too, because he did a great job when the Warriors tried to switch him onto Steph Curry in those pick and rolls with Draymond Green. So those are some of the big things that kind of stood out to me that will be relevant again, you know, when they play the Warriors on Friday, when they play them on Christmas, and potentially when they see them in the playoffs, maybe even the Western Conference Finals. Those are definitely some things to keep an eye on, because this was a close matchup and these are two very good teams. Curry's not going to shoot that poorly again, but there are a lot of things that we can take from this game and apply them moving forward.
Mikal Bridges, 14 steals in the last three games, is the most by a Suns player in a three-game span since Sean Marion in 2004-2005. That's pretty incredible, considering how great of a defensive player Sean Marion was, and how honestly, like, when I look at Mikal Bridges, I think his flexibility is just unbelievable. He can basically guard anybody 1 through 4, and even maybe even 5, because he's just that damn good. And he's just so quick with his hands. He gets in the passing lanes. He's the difference between Sean Marion and Steph Curry is I always felt like Sean Marion was a great defender, but against smaller guards, maybe not as effective as I feel like Mikal Bridges is, just because of his length. Maybe I have that wrong. I don't know. You guys tell me.
No, Mikal's length makes him so versatile on anybody, you know, but also it's a very much more switching mentality nowadays too, where you switch everything with this, which in part is why you saw DA wind up on Steph so much. But there's no doubt that that Mikal Bridges should be in that conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. And like we talked about, doing it last night with you know, the basketball world watching was much more impactful for his case than it was against the Nets when college football was going on Saturday night. Like, this, they took notice of Mikal Bridges. But as a game from a global perspective and looking at facing the Warriors in the future and what we learned, you know, Steph is likely, we know, and I feel pretty safe saying this, Steph won't wind up having that poor of a game again against the Suns. If he does, that's a true testament to just how unbelievable Mikal is. But in all likelihood, he may not have a full Steph game, but he's not going to play as poorly as he did last night. But what I think you can, you know, take umbrage in is the fact that I don't think you're going to see, you know, Poole and Porter Jr. shoot like they did. I mean, they shot a combined 10 of 20 from beyond the arc on threes. Like, they're not going to shoot like that consistently against you and have that hot of a night. So even if Steph does come back more towards who he usually is, I don't think you're going to see the role players in Golden State have that big of an impact. So I still think net whole, this Suns team is in a very good position when taking on the Warriors. Now, Friday is going to be tough because in all likelihood, and again, I feel pretty safe saying this, Devin Booker isn't playing on Friday, right? With a hamstring issue. So that obviously changes the dynamics in some way and the complexion, but I still feel the Suns team matches up very good against the Warriors, and DeAndre Ayton's aggressiveness offensively is a big part of that. And you hope to see that in each of these matchups.
You know, going back to DeAndre and Mikal's defense, I think one of the things that I really enjoy from those two guys is their mindset on how they approach things. Like Mikal Bridges last night, I think, Gerald, you might have asked him this question just about his focus, you know, on when he's guarding Steph Curry. And he immediately turned it into a whole team effort. He didn't really take any of that praise. He didn't take any of that personally. It was always a whole team effort, being on a string, making sure they're communicating with one another. And that, I think, says a lot for this team, like especially when we were talking about the potential of what this team could do long term. And then the same thing for DeAndre. And I know DeAndre and Mikal have had these conversations before. I've been present for them at some points. Like, their whole entire goal is to turn things around here. And the way that DeAndre approaches bad nights or tough situations is always a lesson learned. He never gets too disappointed. He never gets too down on himself. The team as a whole, they never do that to each other either. And I think that's so important when you're really trying to do something amazing here, is the way that you mentally approach things. I mean, we talk about it in life in general all the time. There's such a big push on mental health and mental stability. And in a job where you're required to show up and be great every single night, or you're expected to at least, being able to take those hard moments and just turn them into learning lessons or motivation instead of getting too down on yourself is so important for the long term.
Right. And I think that's, you can't say enough about Ayton's, not just his work ethic, but his mentality and the way that he's open to the kind of constructive criticism that play that comes with playing with a guy like Devin Booker, that comes with being a big man for a Chris Paul-led team. You know, that's not an easy thing to do. And I think the Suns are well aware of that, to the point that they, you know, heap on the praise when he does the things that they like we saw last night. You know, DeAndre Ayton set those two screens for Chris Paul in the third quarter. He got back-to-back mid-range jumpers, and DeAndre Ayton was dog tired, and Chris Paul came over to him. He was encouraging him, gave him a pat on the head, and he said after the game, "I was just telling him, keep doing what you're doing. Like, you're all right. Like, this is working." And he said, when, you know, DeAndre Ayton sets those screens, I don't get those mid-range looks without kind of the mismatches that creates when he sets the screen and rolls hard like he was last night. So you've really got to give him props for just responding to the feedback that he gets from the older, more experienced players on this team and incorporating it, because, you know, we've seen him improve in the short roll on the pick and roll. We've seen him this year, Monty Williams was saying, he's made himself a bigger target on those roles, so where guards can find him a little bit more easily than maybe last year. Those are all things that he's doing, that it's kind of the dirty work. It's not glorified. It's not glamorous. It's very tiresome, but he's doing those things. And when he does those things, especially against a smaller team like the Warriors, like we saw last night, he is capable of punishing them with the kind of bully ball that we don't really often get to see from him.
Before we wrap things up here, I know it's a little bit of a short one today, but we have plenty of time this week to talk all about our Phoenix Suns. I know there was no practice today, which is no surprise, but does anybody have any insight onto Devin's injury and what we may be expecting here?
I'm hearing that an MRI is taking place today, Wednesday, but they don't seem overly concerned. So it's not going to be a quick thing. Hamstrings aren't usually, even when it's a mild strain or pull, whatever the case may be. But my assumption would be we're looking at probably a couple weeks just based on that, but that it's not going to be something that's a long-term issue here for Book.
All right, good to hear. I mean, and if there was a time to miss a few weeks for Devin, right now is not a bad time for that. Better to save him for the future than to put him back in too early and let him get the rest and recovery that he needs. All right, yes. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Go ahead. Sorry, Espo.
I was going to say, I'll stick my neck out there. He'll be back well in time for that Christmas matchup with the Warriors. So.
Oh, yeah, I believe that for sure. I don't think he would ever miss out on that one. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for tapping in today on the PHNX Suns podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Wherever you are listening to, please rate, review, subscribe, whatever you are willing to do to help us out. We always appreciate your support. And if you'd like to become a member at gophnx.com and read all of Gerald's sweet, sweet content, please head over there, check it out. You can get some really great deals and discounts. And of course, you get access to our members only discounts for our merch. So if you haven't taken a peek at that, now is a great time to do so. Again, at gophnx.com. I'm Lindsay Smith. You can follow me on Twitter at LindsaySmithAC. You can follow Saul Bookman on Twitter at Saul_Bookman. You can follow Gerald on Twitter at Gerald Bourget. And of course, you can follow Espo on Twitter at Espo. Espo?
Remember, nostalgia is a hell of a drug, and ahoy hoy.